Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday evening, May 3rd, 2020, and we are still in the middle of this coronavirus. We hope that this will all be over soon and that we can be back to assembling and meeting together. I'm sitting here at my desk, prepared to try to say a few things that be of edification and help to you this evening. What do you think about when you think of the word courage? When you think of courage, do you think of soldiers fighting on a battlefield? Do you think of a firefighter risking his or her life by running into a burning building to save someone? Do you think of rescuers going down a dangerous mountainside to bring up someone who has fallen while hiking? These kind of pictures usually come to our minds when we think about taking courage. Can you think of some examples of courage in the Bible? Well, I'm sure that you can. There's a number of them. Maybe we think about Moses, who went up against Pharaoh. He was the most powerful king in the world. God said to Moses, "Go to him and say, 'Let my people go.'" And he didn't want to at first, but God convinced him. It must have taken great courage to stand before Pharaoh. Or think about Gideon in the book of Judges. Gideon and his band of 300 men who went up against a massive Midianite army who are described as locusts spread across the valley. Or maybe about Jonathan, the son of Saul, the friend of David. Jonathan and his armor bearer went up against the Philistines and started a battle. Because of their courage, they began a battle that led to a great victory for Israel. Or thinking about David, the young shepherd boy who went up to see about his brothers. As the Israelite army was set over against the Philistine army, and Goliath comes out every day and challenges the army of Israel. He was a huge man, a man of war, a man of valor, over 9 feet tall. And the rest of the Israelite army, including King Saul, would not go out to fight him. But David did. What great courage that he had. Or Daniel. You think about Daniel in the book of Daniel, when Israel was in Babylonian captivity. And the enemies of Daniel got the king to make a law, an edict, that no one could worship any god except him. And Daniel knew of the edict, and still he went home to his house, opened the window, and prayed to Jerusalem as he always had. It must not have been easy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the same book of Daniel, refused to bow down before the king's idol, even though it meant being cast into the fiery furnace. Esther, in the book of Esther, approached the king to ask a favor, which was not allowed to be done, and could have cost her her life, but she risked her life for everything for her nation. Nehemiah, who organized the people of Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls of the city, even with the threats and the opposition of their enemies. John the Baptist, who was called before Herod, and told Herod, "You don't have a right to have her," talking about Herodias, talking about the woman he was married to. He had taken his brother's wife, and the king had the power of life or death over him. And yet he had the courage to tell him the truth. And in this case, it did cost him his life. And then the apostles, Peter and John, early chapters of the book of Acts. And we see how that they stood before the Sanhedrin council, the same council that had condemned Jesus to have him put to death. And they tell the apostles, they told the apostles to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. But the apostles, again before a council who had power over them, said we must obey God rather than men. And so we want to talk a little bit this evening about the subject of courage. We want to begin by defining courage, and then we want to look especially at the courage of the Apostle Paul and some things he says in the book of 2 Corinthians that I think are a key to the courage that he had to to preach the gospel and to be unafraid. Courage. From dictionary.com, the word courage is defined in the English as the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. I'm going to question a little bit of that definition in just a moment. But to begin with, courage is the quality of mind or the quality of spirit that enables us to act, to move forward, to achieve our goals, to accomplish something. In fact, in spite of the fact there is potential danger or difficulty. Now, we set a small challenge to the definition. The definition says it enables a person to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear. I don't know that having courage means we don't have fear. In fact, Mark Twain said, courage is resistance to fear, master of fear, not the absence of fear. Dr. Robert Anthony said, courage is simply the willingness to be afraid, but to act anyway. And I think those are good thoughts. I think that's true. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the determination. Courage is the willingness to act even if I am afraid, to do what I know I need to do even if I am afraid. The courage to act and do the right thing. Well, let's talk for a moment about the Apostle Paul and the great courage that he had. Really, from the very beginning of his new life in Christ, Paul showed tremendous courage. After he was converted to Christ, after he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, went into the city, and he was told what to do there by Ananias. Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. At Damascus, he was baptized, and he began immediately to preach and to teach before the Jews. And the Jews sought to kill him at Damascus. But the brethren let him down over the wall in a basket, and he escaped, and he went on to Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, in chapter 9, the Jews sought again to kill him, and he fled, and he went to Tarsus. From Tarsus, he went to Antioch, and in Acts chapter 13, he began what we call his three missionary journeys. And as he begins to travel and preach the gospel of Christ at Antioch and Pisidia, he's driven out of town. Have you ever been driven out of town because of your preaching of Jesus? Have you ever been driven out of your neighborhood for preaching Jesus? Have you ever been scoffed for preaching Jesus? Well, he left Antioch and he went to Iconium. And in Iconium, in Acts chapter 14, he fled for fear of being stoned, and he went on to Lystra in chapter 14, and in that city he was stoned, and he was left for dead. But he got up and he went back into the city. I'm not sure I would have the courage to do that, but he did. In Philippi, on his second journey, in Acts chapter 16, he was thrown into prison, and he was beaten, even beaten unlawfully because he was a Roman, and he had not had the proper treatment as a Roman, the proper accusations against him. And so, all this because he had cast out the spirit of divination from a young girl and made the masters unhappy. In Thessalonica, in chapter 17, Jason and some of the brethren were drugged before the authorities, and Paul escaped on that occasion. And in Ephesus, in chapter 19, there was the great riot led by Demetrius, the silversmith. The silversmiths who were honoring the goddess Diana in her temple. And Paul had, on that occasion, wanted to go into the midst of the riot and talk to the people. But the brethren thought better of that and wouldn't let him go in. I'm sure they were right about that. But these are just some examples we see from the life of Paul that over and over and over again he faced opposition. He faced threats. He faced death. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's read just a few verses here where Paul talks about some of his labors and some of his suffering. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 22. And Paul is in this place to understand the context. He's defending his apostolic ministry against false teachers and against his enemies, against those who have made accusations against him. And Paul is comparing himself and his labors and his persecutions to them, not for the sake of bragging, not for the sake of puffing himself up, but for the sake of defending the gospel and for the sake of getting the disciples to see the difference between him as a true apostle and worker for Christ and the false teachers. And so he says here in chapter 11, verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes beyond, above measure, of deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and the day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Notice the things that Paul suffered, that he talks about. He talks about his labors, his prisons, his stripes, and his death. Paul was exposed to the potential for death often. In verse 24, he says, of the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, that was the practice of the Jews. 40 was the maximum. And to make sure they didn't overdo it, they always did it 40, save one. 39 stripes. He says, of the Jews 5 times, he received 39 stripes. None of these, when we think of all the persecutions of Paul in the book of Acts, none of these occasions of the stripes from the Jews 39 times, none of them are mentioned in Acts. He says in verse 25 that 3 times he was beaten with rods. Only one of those is mentioned in Acts. In verse 25 he says he was shipwrecked 3 times. None of these are mentioned in Acts. Someone says, well, there's one mentioned in Acts. Yeah, but that was after what Paul's talking about here. Paul wrote this before that other shipwreck. So 3 other times, beside the time we see in the book of Acts, Paul was shipwrecked. He says, a day and a night, he was in the deep. That's floating in deep water. He was bobbing like a bobber in the water, a day and a night, a day and a half in the deep. He says, journeys often. We see 3 journeys recorded in the book of Acts. He traveled often. And travel was not easy. Remember that. Travel was not easy like it is today. There was no McDonald's. There were no Cracker Barrels. There's no Chick-fil-A. There's no Starbucks. They weren't riding in an air-conditioned car or air-conditioned plane or train. He walked or he rode an animal. Ships were dangerous, as we have seen. 4 shipwrecks. Not 1 shipwreck for Paul in his life, but 4 shipwrecks. Perils of rivers, that means crossing rivers. Crossing rivers was not easy. They did not have big, nice, safe bridges to cross, often in swift water. In perils of rivers, in perils of the city, we take police protection for granted. And our cities are relatively safe, even though they're not perfect. In perils in the wilderness, robbers, when they were out in the wilderness, when they were traveling, robbers were common. Think of the story of the Good Samaritan, the man that fell among robbers and was beaten and left for dead. In watchings often, sleepless nights, as he was traveling, worried about different situations with the brethren or his own personal safety or the situation of his own companions. In watchings often, hungry and thirsty, without food, cold, exposure. I don't think we can begin to understand the things that Paul went through just to suffer, just to travel, the suffering that he went through just to be able to travel and to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've suffered none of these things. Oh, I've gotten on a plane and flown for 15 hours to China, but that's nothing. An air-conditioned cabin, a nice soft ride, an easy plane ride. We don't begin to have the challenges of the travel that these of ancient times had. We don't get hungry and thirsty. I have always plenty to eat and drink. I've not been beaten. I've not been left for dead. I do not, as Paul, bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul suffered greatly. Why? Why did he do all that? Why did he do all that? Well, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I think we see in these verses some keys to why Paul went through all of that. He went through all of it for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. Again, let's read just a few verses. I want to read verse 7 through 18. Again, a little bit of a longer reading, but we'll just read, and then we'll make a few comments, and we'll be done. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Christ, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, and therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore also we speak, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also with Jesus and raise us also with Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the gospel, that the grace, being multiplied through the many, may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I believe as we read this passage and read this text, we can come up with at least four reasons of why Paul was such a great minister of the gospel of Christ, why he was willing to suffer, why he was willing to go to great sacrifice in the work that he did. And the first is that Paul loved the truth. He loved the truth of God. Verse 7 says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." Paul realized the power was not of himself. The power was of God. And he says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul considered the gospel a treasure. An earthen vessel is just an earthen vessel. A clay pot, something that's not worth very much. In ancient times, they made pots out of clay, and they weren't very expensive, even by their standards, by their day and time. And so he talks about the fact that we have this treasure. Here's this earthen pot, but what's in it is the treasure. He doesn't here tell us what the treasure is that he had in his mind amid the physical illustration. But we know what the treasure is as far as his illustration is concerned. It is the gospel. It is the truth. Paul loved the truth, and Paul realized that the truth was a treasure in an earthen vessel. He's the earthen vessel. He saw himself as just a clay pot, a temporary clay pot that could be broken and could be shattered. But the truth was the truth. The truth was a treasure, whether gold or silver or gems. The treasure is worth everything. The container is worth nothing. And so that's the way the gospel is. Romans 1:16, Paul, this same writer, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. The word of the cross is the gospel, it's the truth, and it is worth everything. I'm worth nothing. You're worth nothing. We're just earthen vessels. And we need to see ourselves as just earthen vessels and hold up the truth, which is everything. But secondly of all, Paul loved souls. Paul loved people. We know that from many passages. Here he says in verses 8 through 12, he says that we are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not despair, pursued but not forsaken, smitten down but not destroyed, always bearing about in our body the dying of Christ, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So in death worketh in us, but life in you. As we said, Paul saw himself as an earthen vessel. He saw himself as one that was willing to be pressed down and pursued and smitten. He saw that he was something that was expendable. And in verse 12 he says, death worketh in us, but life in you. Death worketh in us, but life in you. What did Paul mean? Well, he means that he was bearing about in his body the marks of Jesus. He was under persecution. He was under trial. He might even have to face death. But the message that he was preaching, the ministry that he was performing for them, was for their sakes, was for life, was for their good, was for the gospel. It might bring about suffering and death for him, but it was life for them, because the message that he was bringing from God was for their lives, for their good. Why did Paul do that? He did that for souls. Because he loved souls. He loved people. He was concerned about them. Again, we see that expression many times in Paul's life as he talks about the love that he had for brethren. He said in Romans 1:14, I'm a debtor. He saw himself as a debtor because of what God has done for us. He had this great debt of preaching the gospel to others. Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, I have great sorrow, unceasing grief in my heart. I wish I myself could be accursed and separated from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was willing to suffer for others. He was willing even to lose his soul for others if he could. He couldn't do that. God would not allow that, obviously. But he was willing to be separated from Christ for the sake of his brethren. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loved his brethren. Number three, Paul was willing to sacrifice. Paul was willing to serve the way he served. He was willing to suffer. Paul displayed great courage because he fully believed in the resurrection. Verses 13 through 15. Paul says, but having the same spirit, according to that which is written, I believe and there I speak. As we believe, therefore we speak. He quotes a passage here from the Old Testament in Psalm 116 and verse 10. And the context of that passage, you go back and study it, is of one who is under trial. But he is saying here, as that one was under trial, I am under trial. But Paul says in this verse, he uses the part of the phrase that says, I believe, therefore I speak. Knowing that Christ, knowing that he raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise us also and shall present us with Christ. We see here that Paul is simply saying to us, I believe, therefore I speak. Paul's faith in Jesus and his faith in the resurrection was so strong he couldn't help but speak. You couldn't keep him from speaking. The word of God was welling up in his heart. And his conviction and his love for people so great, you couldn't keep him from preaching the gospel. I believe, therefore I speak. Paul's faith in Christ, Paul's belief in the resurrection, Paul's love for people, caused him to do everything he could to bring people to the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, in verses 16 through 18, we see that Paul had courage because of the glory that waited. Paul knew that all this suffering was temporary. He was willing to do it for the sake of Christ. He was willing to do it because of his love of the brethren. He was willing to do it because it was the truth. But he says in 16 through 18, we faint not. But though our outward man is decaying, our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he just considered it light affliction. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Paul says, you look around us and you see the things. See these things? These things are temporal. These things are temporary. But the unseen things are eternal. And he says, we're not looking at the things which are seen. We're looking at the things which are not seen. Paul was keeping his eye on the things that are not seen. And so we faint not. Even with all the persecution, even with all the trials, even with all the opposition that he faced, Paul said, we faint not. We're not discouraged. The outward man is decaying. The outward man's in trouble. The outward man's getting old. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. This light affliction is just for a moment. But it works for us. It prepares for us an eternal weight of glory. Paul had courage because he loved the truth. Paul had courage because he loved people. Paul had courage because he believed completely in the gospel and in the resurrection of the dead. And Paul had courage because of the glory that was waiting. It's interesting, the English word for courage comes from a Latin word, cor, which means heart. And that's what courage is all about. Courage is about the kind of heart that you have. Courage has nothing to do with physical strength. It has to do with inner strength. We say it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. It matters what kind of heart you have. Harriet Beecher Stowe said, all serious daring starts from within. And so, the secret to courage is the heart. Loving God with all the heart. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Keeping our eye on the goal, realizing that the gospel and the truth of the gospel and people's souls are more important than any fear, any embarrassment, anything that we might happen to face for the sake of the gospel in this world. Let us not lose heart, but let us strive daily to be more courageous for the gospel. Well, that's the lesson for this evening. We hope and we pray that you have a great week. We hope and we pray that we'll all be back together soon, and we look forward to doing that. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.